Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Brandon Lindell, Senior Associate Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
This morning, we're going to continue our series in the Gospel of Mark. Last week, we looked at the beginning of Mark 14, and we saw Jesus was at a dinner where a woman named Mary comes, and she does an act of worship to Jesus that prepares him for his burial, because Jesus is about to head to the cross. And Mark, in true Mark style and fashion, immediately throws us into a set of circumstances. Oftentimes when Mark's writing, you'll notice the word immediately because it's action-packed. He keeps everything very tight and he moves things right along. And he throws us into a set of circumstances that are going to send Jesus to the cross. This morning in Mark 14, verse 10, we're going to look at the story where Judas is getting ready to betray Jesus. So let's look at it, picking it up in Mark chapter 14, verse 10. It says this. It says, "Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priest in order to betray him. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought an opportunity to betray him. And on the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, 'Where will you have us go to prepare for you to eat the Passover?' And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, 'Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, "The teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. There, prepare for us.' And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they were reclining at table and eating, Jesus said, 'Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me.' And they began to be sorrowful and to say to one to another after another, 'Is it I?' And he said to them, 'It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born.'" This morning, as we read these verses, it's a gripping passage. It's intense. It's intimate in that Jesus is at a meal with his close friends, and that's where it takes place. It's sobering in that Jesus pronounces a warning that for that person who betrays him, it'd be better if they had not been born. And this morning we come to a passage where the Lord is going to be betrayed, and we find something very interesting. And I want to speak to you from the subject this morning, the God who gets uncomfortably close. Because the fact of the matter is, we serve an active God. We serve a God who doesn't sit passively and watch the details of our life play out, who doesn't care, who, if we serve him, says, "Oh, that's great." And if we make decisions that would destroy our purpose or take us farther from him, says, "Oh, well, you win some, you lose some." But we serve a God who interjects himself into our lives, who loves us enough to get uncomfortably close. And we see this beautifully illustrated in this passage this morning. You know, when you think of close, it's interesting that you can be close, but not really close. When it comes to your relationship with God, when it comes to walking with God, when it comes to being in a spiritual environment, you can be close, but not close. I think it's interesting in verse 10 how it says, "And Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12." Judas was somebody who was close to Jesus. Judas was somebody who walked with Jesus for 3 years, who saw Jesus heal the blind, who saw Jesus heal the lame, who saw Jesus calm the storm, who saw Jesus as he would feed thousands of people with just one meal. Judas was close. Judas watched Jesus and was able to talk to Jesus and was able to hear Jesus preach and was able to see Jesus close up. He slept under the stars with Jesus and his disciples. He was with Jesus all the way. He was incredibly close. But being so close, yet so far away. Being so near to God working, being so near to what God was doing, occupying what is really one of the most privileged places in history to be one of the 12 apostles, and yet he was so close, but yet he was so far away. Fascinating to think you can be close but far. Fascinating to think that you can surround yourself with spiritual things and yet be unspiritual. That you can be in the presence of God and yet not have the presence of God working in you. You know, Mark takes this passage and he puts it up against the other dinner. You really have two dinners going on, one with somebody worshiping and one with somebody who's about to betray Jesus. And you notice in the first dinner that we talked about last week, when Mary comes and it's this amazing act of worship and it's a worship atmosphere, and Judas, while worship is happening, he's watching. He's really close to what's happening. He's really in it. But nothing's working inside of him. He is a spectator. That's kind of what happens when you're close but not close, is you become a spectator of the things of God. You become a commentator of the things of God. You become a watcher instead of a worshiper. You become an assessor of how things went down rather than intimately interacting with the presence of God. You can be close, but not close. You know, some of you come to church because you like the environment. You like the positivity, you like the vibe, you like the people, you like the music, you like, you know, the coffee shop and like to hang out and just meet people. It's a great, great place to be. You like the environment, you like being in the service, man. You like feeling the presence of God move. But if you were being honest, it's not gone from watching to worship. It's an external work of God in your life, but it never is internal. And really, when you look at Judas, you're like, "What? How's it work to be close but not close? How does that happen to somebody?" You know, I think Judas, at some point along the way, wasn't really sure if he was all in on what God was doing. You know, it's cool when Jesus calls Judas and says, "Hey, I want you to be one of my disciples." And then, you know, you watch Jesus heal some people and you're like, "Wow, that's so awesome." And you watch Jesus feed a bunch of people and you're like, "That's really cool." But when Jesus starts talking about, "Hey, I'm going to die. I'm going to the cross. Hey, I'm going to rebuke you right now because, hey, you're watching and you're not worshiping." In the last passage we see Judas, and he's making an assessment, and Jesus calls him out. He challenges him. I think at some point Judas was like, "I don't know if I'm in on that." You know if you're close but not close. You know if you're a watcher and not a worshiper. If as you're in the presence of God, God begins to press on you, God begins to speak to you, and rather than have a submission that says, "Hey, God, I'm here for you, and God, if your word says that, then I'm going to do it," or, "God, if you want me to go this way, then I'm going to go that way," but you start to get uncomfortable, and "I don't know if I'm in on that. I don't know if I want that." And you like the idea of being spiritual. You like the idea of hanging around God, but when it comes to what's actually happening in your heart, there's a lot of work of God around you, but there's no work of God happening in you. And that's where Judas is at. He's close, but not close. So what's God do in a situation like that? I mean, truly, this is the worst. Judas is going to betray Jesus. Jesus knows what's going on in Judas' heart. Jesus knows what Judas is preparing to do. Jesus knows everything that's happening, and he's in complete control. So how does God respond to a situation like that where somebody's going to betray him? It's interesting to think that when that's going to happen and Judas is about to betray Jesus and something very painful is going on, that Jesus has dinner with Judas. You know, we serve a God who loves to get uncomfortably close because he's a God of grace. When we are far, he comes near. When we are distant, he gets close. Jesus gets uncomfortably close. How uncomfortably close? You know, Judas doesn't have to end up at this dinner, all right? Judas doesn't have to be there. This is really the last moment that Jesus has with his disciples where he can sit and he can talk with them before he goes to the cross. This is a huge moment for him, huge moment for his disciples. It's an opportunity for him to speak into them. And he could have very, very easily said, hey, somebody is betraying me. It's Judas. You'll notice his seat's empty tonight, because I didn't want him here. And I worked things out so I could talk to you and get you ready for this. But Jesus doesn't handle it that way. Jesus actually takes the opportunity, and most scholars think, because of the different biblical accounts, that Judas was literally sitting right next to Jesus. Now, I think when we read it, we can think, oh man, I'm sorry, Jesus. I hate that it worked out that way for you. Like it was an accident for Judas to sit next to Jesus. You know, but any other time, any other gospel account where Jesus interacts with people would be like, oh man, he's an on-time God. And he shows up right where blind Bartimaeus is and he heals him, man. He's right on time. He's always in the right place. That was a divine appointment. Oh man, when he healed that leper, he was right on time. He was a divine appointment. Zacchaeus, come down. I'm supposed to have dinner at your house. This is a divine appointment. I'm standing here because I'm supposed to be here and you're supposed to be there, and I'm going to your house today. And we're like, wow, that's awesome. Jesus, always in the right place at the right time. But then Judas sits next to Jesus and we're like, oh wow, man, that was a mistake. No, Jesus is in complete control. He knows what Judas is about to do, yet he positions himself right next to Judas. Isn't it cool to think we serve a God that even when we would be making decisions that would push us farther away from him, when we'd be doing things that could hurt the cause of Christ, that rather than keeping his distance, he gets close? You know, maybe you're here this morning and you're like, man, I think because of where I'm at right now in life, maybe you were close with God at one time, you really saw God work in your life, but if you're being honest today, you're like, man, I know God knows what's going on, and I'm pretty sure this morning God's keeping me at a distance. Until I fix some stuff, that's just how it's got to be. But if you're sensitive to the Lord, as you're sitting in here, you hear God knocking on the door of your heart, and you thought God was going to be distant with you this morning, and you find out he's sitting right next to you. That's the kind of God we serve, the God who likes to get uncomfortably close, the God who likes to say, hey, you know what? I know where you're at, but I want to be near to you because I love you. He gets uncomfortably close because of his grace. He looks at Judas and he doesn't say, oh man, just keep your distance, Judas. Why don't you sit on that end of the table? He's like, no, I'm going to get right next to you because I want to talk to you, because I want you to wake up. Because I care about you. Will you just talk to me, Judas? Will you just open your heart for a second and listen to me? I know what's happening in your life. It's not caught me by surprise. You're not betraying me. And I'm like, oh no, I'm looking at you and I know exactly what's going on in your world. Yet I want to be near to you. It reminds me of what the writer of Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 1. He says, come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Come, let us reason together. Hey, can you stop for a moment? Can we just have a conversation this morning? Can you just let me get a little close to you? I want to be close to you. I want to speak into your life. The way that you're going is going to wreck your purpose. The decisions you're making are not only not honoring to me, but they're going to ruin your life. Will you let me just talk to you? Open up your heart. And that's how Jesus comes to Judas. He just wants a moment with him to say, hey, let me talk to you. Let me get in your world. You know, we can think, man, sitting next to the person that would betray you, if you knew that, would be a little awkward. I mean, human nature, isn't it? If somebody was going to hurt you, somebody close to you, you knew they were going to turn on you, you would put a little distance there. You'd block them on Instagram. You'd block them on your phone. You'd say, I don't want to have anything to do with that. I just need distance, because you want to be emotionally safe. And we can think that that would be where Jesus is at. But Jesus not only wanted it to end up, it's not awkward at all for Jesus. He's making it awkward for Judas, and not because he wants to, you know, poke at him, not because he wants to be passive aggressive with him. He wants to get close to him, make him feel a little uncomfortable, so Judas wakes up. You know, maybe as you came in today, you're like, man, every time I come to church, it just feels a little awkward for me. I don't feel like I fit. I don't feel like, as I'm in worship, like I can worship. And maybe it's not because God wants you to feel awkward because you're far. It's because when God gets close, he starts pressing on things in your life because he wants to make a change in you. But you got to open up your heart and say, God, I want that, and let him get close. He gets in uncomfortably close, not because he doesn't love you, but because he does love you. Not because he doesn't want to show you grace, but because he has grace for you. He has grace for you. We serve a God who gets uncomfortably close because of his grace. He gets uncomfortably close because that's always been the plan. That's always been the plan. You know, Judas can think he's setting things into motion that Jesus might have found unexpected. He's setting things into motion that are out of Jesus' control. But Judas isn't sending Jesus to the cross. Jesus is going to the cross because he wants to. You know, in John 10, Jesus says, hey, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down that I might take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. I have authority to take it up again. This is the charge that I've received from my Father. I'm in complete control. And this has been the plan from the beginning. At the table, Jesus says, you know what? The Son of Man must go as it is written of him. He's going to go because he wants to go. God has chosen to get uncomfortably close. For God so loved the world that he sent his Son. This is the plan from the beginning, that I'm going to get close to those who reject me. I'm going to get close to those. If you don't love me, I'm going to get close. I'm going to reach out. I'm going to come and I'm going to heal because I care, because I want to get uncomfortably close to humanity. I care. I want relationship with you. And that's always been the plan. And Judas, this relationship with Judas is just an illustration of how God operates with humanity. That when humanity would betray him, when humanity would say, I don't want that, when humanity, God would say, no, listen, you need this. No, listen, without this, without a relationship with me, you're going to destroy your purpose. And that's been my plan from the beginning, is to get close to you, that you might turn to me and I might heal you. That you might turn to me and I might love you because I care about you. He gets uncomfortably close because that's his plan. It's his plan for you today. It's his plan that you wouldn't keep going the way you're going, but you would turn to him and you would find that he loves you. He cares about you. Some of you think you just showed up here by accident today. That you're here because you decided to be here, or because your wife wanted you to come, or because your husband wanted you to come, or because your girlfriend's here, or your future girlfriend's here. You thought you just showed up here. But God is in complete control. And he's parking right next to you. And he's saying, I brought you here. In fact, I worked the circumstances of your life together so you could be here. Because I want you here. Because I want to speak to you about the things that are going on in your life that are destroying what I have for you, because I love you. I care about you. We serve a God who gets uncomfortably close. He gets uncomfortably close because he's a God of grace. He gets uncomfortably close because that's always been his plan from the beginning. But he gets uncomfortably close because he wants to give us an opportunity. That this is an opportunity for Judas. This is an opportunity for Jesus to speak into his life. This is an opportunity for him to say, whoa, stop. You know, what's interesting in the two dinners that Mark puts together, in this chapter that Mark puts them together, but there's different language in both of them, although they're parallel in that they're very similar, there's different language in that the first one, the woman, she comes to Jesus and she does something for him. And Jesus commends her and begins to speak to her after she's done an act of beautiful worship. Isn't that like God, that when we do something good, when we do something right, that God is like, hey, great job. Even though he did everything to get us to that point, that he would speak to us then and he'd still commend us. But Judas, at his dinner with Jesus, when Jesus speaks of the betrayal, he's coming to Judas before the act. Before Judas has made the betrayal happen, Jesus is going to come to him and he's going to begin to speak to him. Hey, you do something good. God tells you, hey, you did a great job. Hey, you're going to make a bad decision. You're heading in the wrong direction. God comes to you before and says, hey, where you're headed is not good. Where you're headed, you don't want to go there. I'm going to come to you before. I'm going to put some warning signs along the way. It's the grace of our God. Let's look at it. In verse 6, she's done a beautiful thing after she worships. Verse 18, one of you will betray me. Wake up. Wake up. The way you're going is not good. Wake up. The decision you're about to make isn't good. Wake up. You set a course for life that's going to destroy you, but I want to come to you before you keep heading that way, before you destroy your life. Stop. You know, Jesus says to her, she has done what she could and anointed my body beforehand for burial. He says to Judas, woe to the man by whom the Son is betrayed. This hasn't happened yet, but if I can do anything to help you wake up, to help you see, I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to get in your world. I care enough about you to get close to you. I care enough about you to make things uncomfortable. Isn't that love? If you care about somebody, do you go, I don't want to make them uncomfortable? I would try to help them, but I don't want to get uncomfortable with them. I don't want to make things uncomfortable. I don't want to talk to them about it and make them uncomfortable. No, if you love somebody, you get in their space. And you begin to talk to them and say, what you're doing is messing you up. The direction you're going is going to mess you up. And I'm going to use some strong language, because I love you. That woe to that man. You know, there's a grace in it, but there's a strength in it too. You know, Jesus in John, when he talks about Jesus coming to earth, it says he was full of grace and truth. And you really sense that. Jesus doesn't have to be with Judas this night. He doesn't have to be eating with him. He doesn't have to be sitting next to him. But he wants to. That's the grace. But he's not gonna just kind of passively say, oh man, I wish Judas would change, but I'm not gonna say anything. You know, he's gonna use some strong language to help him wake up. But he does it before Judas ever makes the mistake, because he loves him. You know, he says this, wherever the gospel is preached about Mary worshiping in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. But he says to Judas, woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man had he never been born. Wow. Her purpose is being fulfilled. If he keeps going the direction, he's going to sabotage what God would have for his life. You know, some of you are here and you're like, man, I used to walk with God. I used to have a vibrant relationship with God. Like Judas, you used to be close to God. You used to see God working in your life. Man, it was great. And you loved, man, I just remember sensing the presence of God. There was a time when, man, the things of God were alive to me and I was making decisions that honored God. But if you were being honest this morning, you're like, man, that was a different day. And I'm sitting in here and you feel the presence of God uncomfortably close. And if you were being honest, you're like, man, I'm not. There's stuff happening around me. Man, I've kept coming to church, but I'm not. There's no work of God happening in me. And I'm making decisions that I know if it weren't for the grace of God, he would be as far away as he possibly could be from me. And God comes to you today to give you an opportunity. And I love, there's a strength but a gentleness. Hey, wake up. You're sabotaging your purpose. I got purpose for you. You're sabotaging it. You're ruining what I would do in you, but it doesn't have to be that way. And you don't have to keep going that way. And I'm gonna put a signpost on the road that says, warning, the bridge is out. Stop. Turn to me. Turn to me. I can just imagine the heart of our Savior as he's sitting next to Judas. And he's saying these things as a warning. And in his heart, he's thinking, man, just turn to me. I want to give you an opportunity. Just turn to me. Just turn to me. Obviously, Judas knows that Jesus knows. Judas knows that Jesus is aware. And so often the enemy can use that to push us away. Say, oh, he knows. Like your heart starts beating fast. I know God knows, so I don't know what to do now. And the enemy comes to you, yeah, he knows. He knows this, and he knows this, and even things you're not thinking about, he knows. But Jesus is aware, but he reaches out. When God knows something in your life, he doesn't use it to push you away. He uses it to draw you to him. He uses it to say, hey, I know about that. That's why you're here. That's why I had you come, and that's why I'm sitting next to you, and that's why I'm putting my finger on things in your heart, and I'm speaking to you, and I'm saying, hey, listen up. That's why I'm getting uncomfortably close, exactly, because I know exactly what's going on in your life, and yet I love you. And you can't get me away, because I care about you. And before you keep moving, I'm going to start talking to you. If you just listen, if you just take a moment and listen, I'm going to talk to you, but if you turn to me, I'll be gracious, and I'll show you your purpose, and I'll show you life, and I'll show you what I have for you. But you got to turn. And in the grace of God, he comes close, even to those who think they're close but don't really know him. He gets uncomfortably close to say, hey, I want to show you my grace. I want to show you my plan for you. And I want to give you an opportunity because I love you. And even in a passage that speaks of one of the worst things in human history, the betrayal of Christ, and one of the most mind-boggling situations where you're like, how could you be so close but not know? God uses that to show his grace for humanity, his love for people, and his care for you. And he's brought you here today because he wants to change your life. And he wants to turn your direction so you can walk in his purpose. Amen. Let's pray.